Good morning. Warm welcome to everyone gathered here for worship in Kemne Kirk, to all who are watching live online, our streaming service, or our catch-up service during the week. We're so glad to have each and every one of you join us for worship this morning. And hasn't the weather just been lovely? Yes, it has. I see rain's coming in, needed rain on Tuesday, so we give thanks for that. But we enjoy the good weather while we have it, certainly. Just a few intimations at the start of our time. First of all, Loaves and Fishes, our church cafe over at the church center, is in need of more volunteers to give of their time and their talents to support that vital aspect of our outreach to the community. So if you are able to offer any of your time and your talents to help at Loaves and Fishes, please be in contact with the manager, Suzanne Bunton. We're also in need of more people to join our prayer rota for a Sunday morning worship. If you have helped with this in the past, please prayerfully consider doing so again. And if you've never helped to lead prayers but are interested in doing so, that is also wonderful. And please speak with me or email me. Email is always better because this does not retain information nearly as well as my email account. And let me know if you'd like to help out with that, and we'd be very pleased to speak with you about it further. I've been asked by Ishbel as well for another intimation about the upcoming strawberry tea, which will be held on the 3rd of September at 2:30 p.m. at the Kirk Center. And bring your own fizz for that event. And the tickets for it are £5 for adults and £2 for children. So again, that's a strawberry tea on the 3rd of September, 2:30 at the Church Center. Come along for a good time of fun and fellowship. And I've been asked by David Bale to intimate that on the 28th of August, after church, there'll be a time of prayer together. That's the 28th of August in 2 weeks' time. So if you'd like to know more about that, please speak with David for more information. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family at the start of our time today? Yes, we'll have a meeting of Kirk session. Thank you. Illustrious session clerk in the back was miming at me for meeting of Kirk session. And that will be Thursday, the 1st of September. And I believe holding it here again in the Kirk, and we'll say it's 7:30 p.m. for meeting of Kirk session. So that's 1st of September for all active elders. So please mark your diaries for that. Thank you, Sheila, as always, for keeping me right. With those shared, let us enter into a time of a moment of silence to prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and as we sing together our opening song of worship, Faithful One.
Oh, Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, you are the faithful one. You are the rock of ages. You are the one who gives us security. You are the one who makes us yours. And Lord, as we come to you, we thank you that you're the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that we can have complete confidence in you. And Lord, as we go through the book of Exodus, we are reminded how you brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt in order to worship you, the true God. You brought them out of idolatry and into a true faith. And Lord, you have brought us out of our slavery to sin to worship you through Christ, through his death on the cross and his resurrection. You have given us that great hope. And Lord, as you provided the Israelites with all that they needed as they journeyed through the desert, and as they escaped the Egyptian hordes, you provide all we need. You have promised that you will be with us and that we are your people. Help us to be faithful with your gift of faith. We ask that you will fill us with your Spirit and forgive us for when we doubt and when we hesitate, or even worse, when we depend on our own strength. Because when we are weak in ourselves, we are strong in you. Help us to be strong in you. Indeed, do fill us with your Spirit, that we may worship you today, this morning, and with our lives with full hearts. Equip us, we pray, through this service and through working in us through our daily lives, that we might serve you in our community, showing love for each other and to those around us. And we pray for all those who cannot be with us today. We pray for those who are not with us because of illness, or because they are still shielding from COVID. We ask that you'll bless them and bless our friends at Littlewood Court especially, we pray. And we pray that you'll be with all across the world who are meeting to worship you. May we just know that we are part of one family with you as our Father. And we pray for those who are unable to meet because of war, because of persecution, because of environmental conditions and other things. We ask that you'll be especially close to them and encourage them and build them up in their faith. May they know that your love surrounds them. And we thank you again that you're here, and we pray that each one of us will be blessed by you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, David. We continue in worship with singing our next song of praise, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
I'm a girl, my people come. Today's reading is taken from Exodus 1 to 5, then verses 31 to 32, following on with chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard you grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was white like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come, so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt." The whole of the Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" May God bless to us this word of his holy word.
Thank you, Ishbel. We continue to sing now, "I Will Sing of Your Faithfulness."
This is a song that we haven't often sung. So, keep your lips tight.
I will pray.
keep your wits about you indeed. Quite like that one. I think we'll weave that into our... Yeah. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Father, as we pause in this time to reflect together upon the timeless truth of your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fall afresh upon our minds and our hearts and our souls. In this time, we pray you will speak to us through your word. Teach us what you would have us know. Make us more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen. So this week we are, of course, continuing with this summer series on the book of Exodus. We've heard throughout this series, week by week, Exodus is Scripture's fundamental story of deliverance and salvation for God's people. It sets a pattern for God's redemptive work throughout all of Scripture, throughout all of history. It reminds us that when it comes to his relationship with humanity, with creation, God always stands ready to bring us into right relationship with him. So this week we're looking at two very closely related texts, bread from heaven and water from a rock. Bread and water, these basic building blocks necessary for sustaining human life. And I think both of these passages, they highlight God's ability and God's willingness to provide for us what is needed to live and to serve as God's people, to follow the Lord's direction for our lives. So with that said, let's jump into the text, starting first with chapter 16, which Ishbel read so well for us a few moments ago. Well done with those Hebrew pronunciations, Ishbel. So the first part of 16 says, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt." The 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. But who's counting, really? The Hebrew people. As we may remember from a previous sermon in this series, one biblical scholar estimated that a direct trip as the crow flies from Egypt to the promised land would take how long? Anybody remember? That stuck in our heads, didn't it? 2 weeks! And here they are on the 15th day of the second month, still traveling about, still finding their way, still following the pillars of cloud and fire that were guiding them every step of the way. So just a wee bit more than 2 weeks by this point. And you know, perhaps for those of us who have taken a long trip, especially long walking trips, you start out with good gusto and good fun, but if you run into unexpected detours along the way, unexpected complications, the fun starts to fade just a wee bit, doesn't it? And by this time in their journey, we can be sure that the luster and any sense of fun and adventure had worn off. And we can almost be certain as well that the Israelites were asking Moses and Aaron the ever-present question that everybody asks, usually from the back seat of a car these days: are we there yet? The day after day and week after week of traveling through the desert could easily have such an effect. And easily imagine Moses and Aaron saying, "We'll get there when we get there. Don't make me stop this caravan." And we're told in verses 2 and 3, in the desert, the whole community, not just some, but the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And they said, the Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Now, this part of the text makes it clear to us that the Israelites were quite hungry. They're having daydreams of pots of meat, bread to the full, right? It's what we do when we're hungry. We fantasize so much about food, and that only makes it worse, doesn't it? Right? And a question, does being hungry, does it increase or decrease our ability to be calm, measured, and reasonable? Hands up for the increase. Okay, decrease, hands up. Yeah. I'm going to vote for decrease as well. Several years ago, when Heather and I were on holiday, we went into a gift shop. It may or may not have been run by a particular mouse. That's all I'll say about that. And in the back corner of this shop, we both saw a t-shirt with a very sad-looking hippopotamus on it. And with the words below it saying, "I'm sorry for what I said when I was hangry." Hangry. And of course, we both looked at each other simultaneously, pointed at each other, and both said, "You need that shirt." And even though we did wind up leaving without the shirt, we could have justified buying two of them, I think. I don't think anyone is at peak performance when tired and hungry. This was true for the Israelites. In verses 4 through 12, the Lord gives an immediate response to the cry of the people. In these verses, Moses receives instruction about bread from heaven and meat in the evening. And the Lord made it clear that for 5 days of the week, the Israelites were to go out and gather enough bread for the coming day, but not keep any extra. And of course, the text tells us they did this anyways. But the bread rotted and stank when they tried to take more than they needed. And for the sixth day, they were to go out and gather twice as much so that they could abstain from gathering for one especially important day, which is called the Sabbath. That's right. And the text also tells us they still tried to go out and gather on the Sabbath, and they were told off by Moses for doing so. So the Lord knew, though, that the people needed sustenance. And God provided it in remarkable and unexpected ways. Crisis averted, right? Partially. None of us do well when we are hungry, and the same is true when we are thirsty as well. In Exodus 17, verse 2, they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Are we sensing a pattern yet about the Israelites' behavior? Throughout these earlier chapters of the Exodus, the people of Israel are living from a posture of fear. Even though by this point in their journey, the Lord has already done so many miraculous things to deliver his people out of Egypt, the Israelites still had a profound lack of trust in God's provision, especially when their circumstances seem to be challenging. Throughout this first stretch of time of wandering in the wilderness, it's like the Israelites were waiting for the other shoe to drop. They could admit, sure, in the past, God had been faithful. But they would also seemingly insist that who knows what's going to happen next. This mentality reminds me of a conversation I heard about from Professor Phil Ziegler, who teaches theology at the University of Aberdeen. Now, Phil's a lovely chap, a very affable Canadian fellow. And on a particularly lovely day in Aberdeen, he was walking in the old part of town, and he crossed paths with an elderly Aberdonian man. Looking for something to say, Phil naturally remarked, "What a beautiful day." And without missing a beat, the elderly Aberdonian looked him in the eye and said, "Aye, and we'll pay for it right soon." Judging from their behavior in our texts, I think that this elderly Aberdonian that Phil encountered would have fit right in with the rest of Israel as they journeyed in the wilderness. "That's okay now, but just you wait." To be clear, the main point of these texts is not the fear or ingratitude of the Israelites. common as it might be. Instead, the main point of these texts of bread from heaven and water from the rock is the gracious and miraculous provision of God. And these texts teach us, I think, that when it comes to a life of faith, God will always, always give us what we need to follow him. Now, we need to be careful in saying that, though, because it's all too easy for us to confuse need with want, right? Especially when these things, need and want, are so willfully conflated by our surrounding culture. And we have to admit that a capitalist society depends on confusing these categories, right? A growth of the economy depends on buying things, strictly speaking, that we do not need, but we want them. When it comes to a life of faith, we hardly ever get what we want. Right? Reminds me of that line from Rolling Stones, "You can't always get what you want. But you try sometimes, you get what you..." Yeah. Right now, we know that the Church of Scotland is facing a lot of very real challenges, some more daunting than others, but all challenging in different ways. Right now, the Church of Scotland is entering into a period in its own kind of wilderness, trying to follow a new way, trying to trust that the Lord is indeed leading us forward to new expressions of ministry. But we get scared. We get worried when we don't see immediate solutions to the challenges. And we face challenges and we say things like, "We need more members, we need more ministers, we need more resources, we need more buildings. Need, 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 need." And there's no doubt that more members, ministers, resources, buildings would be lovely to have. And at the risk of being harsh, we don't need any of these things. We don't need any of these things. We don't need these things to really follow and to trust where God is leading. Instead, what we need is whatever God gives us. Nothing more and nothing less, certainly. Like those Israelites in the wilderness, we here in the Kirk, we're a little ways into a new, long, and seemingly uncertain journey. Like the Israelites, it's easy for us to focus on what we think we lack. It's easy and tempting for us to get scared and even grumble about the challenges we face. We're only human, after all. And of course, there's grace and there's forgiveness for us along the way. There will be times when we focus on the wrong things, when we get scared, when we dig in, when we get stubborn, when we don't want to listen to what the Spirit is saying, when we grumble against each other and grumble against God. It's going to happen. We're only human. But like the Israelites in the wilderness, we need to remember and we need to trust that we worship and follow the living God, maker of heaven and earth, the one for whom nothing is too difficult, for nothing is impossible. The one who can make manna appear from the sky and water flow from a rock. Throughout their journey in the wilderness, God always gave the Israelites what they needed. Not what they wanted, but what they needed to live as God's people. So as we continue forward in our own journey in this presbytery grouping with our sister churches, with Gordon Presbytery, with the soon-to-be-created Super Presbytery, all these different plans, all these different layers of uncertainty we're facing, all this wandering forward in faith, as we continue to find our way through all these things, all these very real challenges, may the Holy Spirit help us to see and appreciate all of the ways that God is sustaining his church and each of us in it. May we see all the ways that God is giving us what we need to follow in the way of Jesus Christ. May we trust that we have what is needed to go forward in faith. May we trust in that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue to worship the God who meets our needs by singing the next song, "We Will Feast in the House of Zion." Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the week that has just passed. We thank you for all the moments when you were so clearly present in our lives. And we ask you, please, to help us see you and experience your love even more clearly in the week to come. And even when we cannot feel you, help us still to trust that you are there, giving us what we need to follow you in faith. Lord, help us always to put our trust in you. Loving God, today we pray for places in our world where there is so much strife, violence, and division. Here in our own community, we pray for families who are experiencing crisis. We pray for your comfort, and your love, and your provision to surround all children who are in the care system in Scotland. We pray for the protection and healing of all who experience being bullied or being abused. In the wider world, we lift up to you now countries experiencing great conflict, especially Gaza and Israel, Yemen, Afghanistan, Ukraine, Myanmar, and so many others. We cry out to you, Lord, to bring peace and healing to all those who are experiencing violence. And we pray especially for our Christian brothers and sisters around this globe who are suffering for the sake of following Jesus Christ. Loving God, help us to put our trust in you. Creator God, we confess that you have charged us with care of this planet, but is currently spiraling in crisis because of our rampant misuse of resources. We pray for those who suffer most because of our recklessness, particularly those who live in areas of famine and places of drought where there used to be plenty. We pray for our own farmers who are struggling with a real lack of rain. And we ask, Lord, in your mercy, that the grain stored in Ukrainian ports may soon get to those who truly need it most. Lord, we confess our sin and we repent of our misuse of this vulnerable, beautiful planet that you have given us as a home. Help us, Lord, in our lives to do our part, to behave justly, to live responsibly as good stewards of your creation. Help us always to put our trust in you. Loving Father, this day we pray as well for our wonderful health service, for all who work in the NHS. We thank you for their love, care, and support, so often going beyond the realm of normal duty for those who are vulnerable. We pray for all those who are anxiously awaiting operations and consultations, and for all whose schedules and waitings have been severely affected by the pandemic. We pray as well for all those whose lives have been adversely affected by the current heat wave. And in the next few moments of silence, we lift up to you all those known to us who are suffering with illness, who are experiencing the darkness of bereavement. Loving God, help us to put our trust in you. Loving Father, a week has gone, another week is coming. As we prepare to depart from this place today, we ask for you to go before us into every situation, to pave a path of peace in front of us. Use our lives, use our faith to draw others into living and loving relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for always being with us. Help us to put our trust in you. And as a sign of our faith, we now join our voices together, praying the words that the Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. We now prepare to sing our closing song of praise, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we go into another week, may we trust that God will always give us what we need to follow him in faith. May we trust in the Lord's provision for each of our lives. And may we use what we are given to live lives of faith, hope, and love, so that others will come to know, love, and follow Jesus Christ. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing rest upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore.